Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Roll the barrel, the Draymond cries. Ammunition for the daily battles in the moon underwater. I'm Robbie Knox, and I'm the landlord of the moon underwater, a mystical place where guests create their dream pub. Oh, Dan, how are you, Dan? Are you very well?
I'm very well, thank you.
A healthy glow to you.
Oh, that's nice.
New moisturiser?
No, same one.
Okay.
Same one, number 7 from Boots.
Okay, one of the best ones. Yep. You've upgraded for number 6, haven't you?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Well, what are you up to this week? Anything good?
I have been... Have you done this yet in the correct realm?
What's that?
I've been on the narrow gauge railway tourist trip.
Yep.
Oh, man, it's so good.
What was your favourite thing on it?
Well, it's free beer all the way around.
Right, okay.
Which, that's probably my favourite bit.
It's not very health and safety conscious, is it?
No, and they do let you drive it as well.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Because
there isn't concept of accidents and drink driving and stuff in the correct realm, so it's fine.
I still think we are very much against drink driving, though, just to be clear.
Unless it's the narrow gauge railway.
Yeah. I think it's very...
Well, there's no cut. I was talking about the railway, obviously.
Yeah. It's very important to stress that the moon underwater does not endorse drink driving.
Yeah.
Is key. What was that? What's that under your arm? Oh, you brought it for me, haven't you? You promised me you would bring me your... recipe, your famous recipe for Black Forest Gatto.
I did.
So can you talk me through the ingredients and what's in it?
Yes, I can. There's chocolate, flour,
yep,
eggs,
yep,
cream,
okay,
cherries,
yep,
sultanas,
okay,
sugar, a lot of sugar.
Okay, we just talk through the steps really. How'd you make it first?
Okay,
of all?
So you mix together the eggs and the flour and the sugar.
How much?
And
what weights?
The exact, you want me to go through all of that?
Yep.
About. It's about...
Maybe we could make a log at home.
500, yeah. Yeah. So, 500 grams of flour.
Yep.
Six eggs.
Six eggs. Wow.
Oh, yeah, it's okay.
Whole box.
Yeah. 400 grams of light brown muscovado sugar.
Okay.
Yeah. Mix all that together.
Yep.
Then you can bake that.
just like that?
Yeah. Pour it into the tin, obviously.
No butter or anything in it.
Yeah, yeah. No. Butter.
Butter's in there.
Yeah. Did I say butter?
No, maybe. So, okay, so you do that. And
quite
then,
a lot of butter,
and then what happens?
Obviously. Then you put it in the tin, put it, and then you make the sort of cream topping.
How do you do that?
So you melt the chocolate.
Yep.
Mix it with cream.
How much cream?
Butter.
How much cream?
Oh, like a pint.
A pint of cream, wow. Yeah.
Butter. And then you get all the cherries.
Just get the cherries.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. And put them on it?
Yep.
Fabulous. Look forward to trying that tonight. Maybe everyone at home can try that out and see.
Yeah.
But fabulous. Well, thank you for bringing that along.
You're welcome.
Sorry to interrupt you there in your cooking chat there, but who is that parking up his quad bike and wandering up the path to the moon underwater? It's the comedian, actor, broadcaster and writer, Matthew Crosby. Matthew, hello, how are you?
Hello, how are you doing?
Very well. How was your journey to the correct realm here today?
Well, you're not going to believe it. I've just done my big shop.
Have you?
And I've got 6 eggs, cherries, a lot of cream,
some
butter. I almost forgot the butter, but I bought it in the end.
Yeah. It is important.
Yeah, yeah. And I was actually just, I made you know, I was making it along as you were describing that. I was outside and the heat off the quad bike.
Yeah.
As I stopped it, it's still the engine's still purring slightly. You know, it takes a little while. It's made a fantastic Black Forest Gatto. So we want to.
And that is that anyone, is the authentic way of cooking.
Oh, you've got to cook it by quad bike. Yeah, it's the only way to cook.
Yeah,
it's the only way to bake.
That's why you see. That's why I was questioning that recipe, because I was thinking of putting it in an oven, not just on the top of a quad bike. Very hard otherwise to get your shopping around in a quad bike, I think, unless you have a backpack.
Yeah. You've got to sort of basically load it all on and use it to cook the dinner so it's ready when you arrive home, basically.
Great, isn't it?
I feel like this is something that, you know, I write on the Bake Off, but I think next series I'm going to suggest they branch out to like Bake Off Off-Road.
Yeah.
Bake Off-Road. Bake Off-Road. It would be. So, because I mean, we know people can cook, right? We've established now over however many series, people in Britain can bake.
They can do it in a big marquee tent.
They can do it in a marquee. Yeah. Anyone can do it in a marquee.
Yeah.
Can you do it driving through some of, you know, Britain's most dangerous roads?
You can cook salmon in a dishwasher.
You can, yeah. You've got to use a lot of foil.
Yes.
That's what you've got to do, because
you don't just chuck it on the shelf.
You can't just
with it inside.
No. Yeah. I mean, it will cook, but it'll be stuck to everything else that's in there as well.
Yeah.
You can do it. I mean, there's lots of food you can do in the dishwasher, because it gets to such. I mean, obviously, you've got to have it, you know, one of the highest temperatures.
Yeah. Sure.
But yeah.
No room for eco wash there, is there?
Not really. No. I don't feel. I don't know. I don't know if I'd ever be really 100% confident with dishwasher salmon.
No.
If that was on Come Dine With Me. I mean, you're getting it too, aren't you?
I ate it.
That's the only salmon that he serves in the Moon Underwater. I mean, that's the gimmick of your
park. Because the microwave's broken.
Yep.
Yeah.
I love microwave salmon. I don't know about anyone else.
It's gorgeous. It's the only way to do it, really. It is. Nothing gets salmon exactly as I like it.
Yeah.
Then blitzing it for 3 minutes in the microwave. Yeah.
If you haven't, I'll do 10 to be sure. Really.
And you know what I also don't do? I don't cover it.
No.
I just let it sort of napalm the inside of the microwave.
Yeah, 10 minutes in there, make it really so as dry as you can on the outside, so it's really hard, like no minimal moisture, really. What? Maybe chuck some silica gel in there to get it out.
So need to suck everything out of it. And then what I do is I unplug the microwave, I turn it upside on my lap, and I just exit the microwave, scraping off the sides of the microwave while I'm watching the telly. Great.
It's the usual way to do it if you have
the only
quad
way
bike.
To do it. Yeah. It's the only way to do it.
Yeah. Quad bikes. While we're talking about quad bikes, sort of, I think they've got a bad reputation. If you see someone on a quad bike, I make judgments about them, but I like
on the
idea. Yeah, if you see a man on a quad bike, I'm thinking, why are you riding a quad bike, mate? But I also think it'd be cool to ride a quad bike. So, do you know what I mean? Like, if quad bikes are more acceptable, I think I'd drive them more.
For me, whenever I hear the word quad bike or the phrase quad bike, I always think of flipped over.
Yeah.
I think that's the thing, isn't it? You always think, you know, cars don't tend to flip over unless you're doing something incredibly dangerous.
Yeah.
Whereas quad bikes just seem to, that seems to be their natural default, to kind of flip over onto
poorly
their back.
Poorly designed. Like, designed for, really, isn't it?
Yeah. There's a group of local youths who go around our streets, and a bunch of them are on motorbikes, but one of them's on a quad bike.
That's what I mean. You judge that one, don't you?
You know what? I think he's. I mean, at least he's gone for it. At least he's. You know, he's in a gang, but he's made his own mark within that gang.
Yeah.
He's not. You know, he's a leader, not a follower.
Yeah.
They probably call him Quad or something.
Yeah. Quad boy, yeah.
Or Dickhead.
He's desperately trying to get them all to convert to quad bikes so they could be called the Quad Squad.
He's a quad bike evangelist, get the Quad Squad going, I mean, the thing is, though, they take up a lot of space, right? You know, if you've got a bike, you can probably, you know, most garages are going to fit a motorbike. Quad bike,
you've
got no room for anything else. You've got no room for your recycling or your chest freezer,
Christmas
or
decorations,
or your Christmas decorations, exactly. Yeah.
And when you pull over all the bikes to cause some trouble somewhere, if you've got all quad bikes, it's quite difficult. A couple of them are going, I don't know if I can park here. I might have to go around the corner. And they've got a CPZ.
This is it. By that point, they've already roughed up an old lady or whatever it is they want to do.
Yeah.
You know, and he's still looking around as, you know,
he goes, I'll drive around the block while you do that.
Yeah, I'll go out for a little bit.
Yeah.
I can't imagine parallel parking a quad bikes, you know, in the middle of the city centre is very easy.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, I find it tricky enough in a Vauxhall Corsa.
Yeah.
I find it parallel parking when someone decides to do it like in the middle of a busy road. I'm always full of admiration.
Yeah,
I think this could go so wrong for you. I always, but if it was a quad bike, I just think You dickhead. Yeah. I wouldn't mate.
I'm a Vauxhall driver.
Are you really?
Yeah. I, for years, had a Vectra. Now I'm rocking the Insignia.
How's the Insignia?
A dream.
Is it?
I mean, I'm not what you'd call a car guy, as you might guess, when I said I got a Vauxhall. Because I don't think you car guys get Vauxhalls. I don't know. But I just like the I like a car that fits my children in and my wife and I.
Yeah.
And that has cruise control. And that's kind of all I want, because I want to set that on when I'm going
through.
Someone's
just falling down the stairs over there.
Someone's quad bike's crashing.
It's the gang. I'm hanging on to dear life, for dear life, to the Vauxhall Corsa. It's a 2009.
Yep.
So it is still ULEZ compatible. But the situation we're in now is that the passenger door doesn't open from the inside.
Okay.
You know, like a murderer would have.
Yeah.
You know, like Ted Bundy would specially kit out his car. And now, as a result, like the other door's open, but... and you can... You could...
I'm doing all right.
Three out of four ain't bad. Five if you count the boot.
Yeah.
Four out of five ain't bad. But obviously, I do a lot of the driving. My wife is in the passenger side. If you wind down the window, you can open it from the other side. So it's not, you know... It's not terrible, but I'm now obsessed with the worry that I'm going to accidentally drive into a lake. Now I live in Beckenham. There are lakes, but they're in the middle of parks.
Yeah. It's going to go very badly wrong.
Already we're in trouble if I get to the lake, even to the edge of the lake.
Pretty much got to have decided to drive into a lake. Into the lake.
I think it's because I just keep thinking of, and spoiler alert if you've not seen it, but is it series one of Succession?
Yeah, I was just going to say, that was the first thing that popped into my head.
That's all I think about now when I get in the car, is I think, am I going to be... You know.
Especially if you're driving with a local young waiter.
Driving with a local young waiter, we're both high out of our minds on some street coke or whatever it is, which doesn't tend to be the way my wife and I drive around.
With the kids, no.
It's not just driving to the big Tesco by Elmer's End. It's that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I'm now... that said, I've done nothing to rectify the situation. Just every time I get in the car, you know, when you've got very little kids, that is just... You think kind of moment to moment, and then you immediately forget. Like you go, oh, that, you know, the toilet seat's broken. We've got to get that fixed. And then when you leave the toilet, it just goes out of your mind. Yeah. And that's how it is with the car. Every time I get in the car, I think, oh, I've got to get that fixed. But we're driving to the garden centre now. Now's not the time.
I think at that age, you're possibly considering child locks on anyway, sort of thing.
In the front. It's in the front.
To get that fixed.
The kids, I mean... Basically,
the kids can get out fine.
If we're in a lake, we're in serious trouble because the kids are strapped into car seats and they can't open.
You're doing a lot of the heavy lifting in that emergency, freeing three people underwater.
And also, all the while thinking, well, this is my fault because I'm the driver, you know.
And you know she's going to mention it.
Do you know what? I would say that is absolutely 100% legitimate.
Yes, yeah, very much so.
You know, that is something that I think...
As you're in the background, I know what you're going to say.
You shouldn't have driven into that lake.
Yeah.
It wasn't a shortcut, as it turned out. Just trust the sat-nav.
Yeah.
I've got to get that sorted. But yeah, well, how do we get onto that?
It's not generally the topic of the podcast, but it's good... It's a good introduction to things, but we are here to talk about pubs, Matthew, and design your dream pub.
Correct.
What were your early memories of pubs?
Well, I don't come from a pub family, so I think my early memories of pubs would be they'd be attached to Harvesters or Burnie Inns. They'd be those. Those my earliest memories of.
I love a Burnie Inn.
I don't know what a Burnie Inn is.
I know a Harvester.
It's the same as like a Toby Carvery. Like I think Burnie Inns basically got sort of driven out by Harvesters. Harvesters took over. So
Burnie Inn was a bit more steaky.
Yeah, I think so.
And Harvester's a bit more chicken in a basket with chips.
Yeah.
What was the other one that was like Harvester? Beefeater.
The Beefeater.
So Beefeater, and then Harvester started talking about their salad bar. So the Harvester was like the healthier one of Beefeater, I think, of the two of them.
I've got a real sort of a real fondness of the heart. In fact, I sort of think I'm probably going to bring my kids to a Harvester and then realise that the food there is just not great at all. You know, when you've got a real happy, my wife as well, was a Harvester kid, so I loved the Harvester. And so we do talk, I mean, there's loads, still loads around, and people do go to them, but I'm pretty sure that I went to one on tour a few years ago, and I ordered a steak. So this is going to be a long while ago. So I don't eat meat anymore, but I ordered a steak, and they said, "Yeah, yeah, fine." And I said, "Do you want to know how I'd like it cooked?" And they're like, "What do you mean?" And I was like, "Oh, this is going to be bad. This is going to be bad." Because they're like, "No, it's a steak. You get it. You get it how we serve it." And it was, you know, it was absolute shoe leather when it arrived. Wow. It was gross.
That's one of those questions that you know you're not going to get the greatest meal, isn't it? I remember my friend Sally, when she first moved to London, she went with her boyfriend at the time to a Aberdeen Angus steakhouse.
Oh yeah.
And they both ordered the lasagna, and the woman said, "Sorry, you can't both have the lasagna because we only have one microwave."
Oh no. That's crazy, isn't it? I mean,
you can put two in at once, or you could just do one after the other.
Have you not got a dishwasher? Yeah. Come on.
Quad bike.
Yeah. it's such a shame, isn't it? Because London, I think, does fantastic food, right? It does. But whenever you walk past a Garfunkel's, they're always rammed.
Yeah.
And you think, you know, these are people who probably, this is going to be the only meal they have in central London. Yeah. Or like one of four meals they have in central London, and they think this is what we consider to be good.
Yeah,
it's a bit like when I first started doing comedy. I used to be one of those guys who stood in Leicester Square flyering, so I'd flyer for 90 minutes to get on stage for 5 minutes, and the comedy night was always terrible. But it sort of didn't really matter.
Yeah.
Like the guy who ran it didn't care that he never had a person ever come back, because he was like, "It doesn't matter, because there's always going to be a 10,000 new people walking through Leicester Square every single day who are never going to walk through Leicester Square ever again. It doesn't matter. As long as we can get 80 of them into this room, that's fine. And that is kind of, that's the model of Aberdeen Angus, or any of those places. And it's sort of depressing.
I think in defence of the tourists, I think you might not always know whether this is an independent place or not if you're new somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
I went to Lisbon a couple of months ago, and I had some tapas at this place, and I thought, that's quite nice. And I thought, and it wasn't great tapas. That was a bit disappointing. And then I walked a bit further down, I saw an identical tapas. I've gone to a chain tapas place. This isn't the authentic Lisbon dining.
You've gone to the Costa Coffee of tapas.
Yeah, I've gone to the Aberdeen Angus, basically equivalent of that. And they're looking, their version of you is saying the same thing about me.
It's a bit like Cafe Rouge. Remember when Cafe Rouge opened in Bromley?
Yeah.
And we were like, oh, we've got a French cafe.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was the place when I was about sort of 17 or 18, it was the place you'd go on a date.
Yes.
Because it was really classy. Mm. In fact, actually, that was the other thing. My friends and I, because we were slightly pretentious kids, we wouldn't go to like the local Wetherspoons. We went to a place called the Abbey, which I think became a Belgo. So if you know what a Belgo is. So we wouldn't eat the mules or anything. We'd just sit in the bar and drink leffe and stuff like that. You know, we wouldn't drink pints. We'd probably be paying probably about £3 at the time, but still a lot more money than you pay for a pint to drink a little sort of schooner of leffe and think we were being incredibly classy. So that was me as a teenager drinking.
Yeah.
I sort of, you know,
it did
I went
feel quite classy there going to
It Belga. Was so classy, And and obviously as a bunch of like wankers, which me and my friend all were, you know, you thought, oh, we're much better people than the riffraff who are at the philatelist and Firkin or whatever it was, you know. So I that was very much my sort of, you know, that was the kind of drinker I was as a teen.
My local at uni was a Firkin, so I'm glad to hear Firkin.
I love Firkin pubs.
I don't know when they disappeared, but they just weren't there anymore.
They got O'Neill's and Wetherspoons just drummed them out of business, didn't they?
Yeah, no more pints of Dog Bolter.
Lovely, delicious Dog Bolter to round off the day.
my friend Dave's 21st birthday at the Finesco and Firkin pub in Norwich. The landlord we got on well with, because it was his birthday, broke his rule of not allowing people to do a yard of ale of Dog Bolter, which is apparently a pub rule.
Due to
the strength of Dog Bolter. But he said, "You can do it, but I'm going to have to get you a sick bucket." And he got Dave a sick bucket. He drank about 2/3 of the yard of ale, threw up in the bucket, and then an incredible feat of athletic endurance carried on.
He went back.
Finished it and filled up a sink in the bathroom with sick.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That is, I mean, impressive. Is that?
I don't know. That's the thing. That was 20 odd years ago, and I still don't know what word to use to describe
it. Yeah.
I mean, you can tell he's a gentleman because a lesser man would have filled up the yard of ale.
Yes.
You know, at least he retired to a bit of porcelain rather than doing it straight back in, which he knew other people have to drink out of. The technique they would always say is it's to rotate, isn't it?
Yes.
That's what they say. You've got to rotate the yard of ale.
Like a flute.
Yeah, exactly. Like, like a sort of glass didgeridoo. Is what you're doing. Simple Simon's was the pub in Canterbury where I was at university, and they had the yard of ale up on the wall. And I've only seen one guy do it. Again, that was on his birthday. And again, weirdly, he puked in the sink as well. Okay. I found him
it's
there.
It's too much liquid.
I think if you were to do a yard of water, you'd still struggle, right? You just don't want to, you know, a yard.
It's just too much.
It's way too much.
Yeah. What's Canterbury like for pubs? Because I know it quite well for shopping and stuff. Because I grew up in Kent, so did Dan, in a worse place than Canterbury. But I've always wondered what it's like for pubs and things. It looks like it would be good.
It was brilliant.
Sort of oldie pubs.
Loads of old Chaucerian style pubs. Mm. Yeah, Simple Simon's was great. Obviously, they serve pies. You've got to if you're called Simple Simon's. Yeah. And it was the kind of place where they would have an open mic night, but it would be, you know, the sort of fiddle and barawn, as opposed to someone getting up and trying to do 5 minutes of bad material.
Yeah.
So it was that kind of thing. You could bring a guitar along and play along with these. I mean, I never did, but I sort of liked that kind of atmosphere.
Yeah.
It was really, really good. Where else did I used to drink? Was it called the Bishop's Finger? Like, you know, it's got that kind of thing, sort of slightly rude, slightly clerical.
Ribald,
exactly, yeah.
A lot of those Bishop's Finger still exists in Canterbury.
There we go, So I used to drink in that was good. Pints of Aranja Boom.
Nice.
That was very nice. And my friend, what was it called now? There was a tree, but I don't think it's the pear tree because that's in Edinburgh. Or was it called the Orchard? Anyway, my friend ran a pub, so I used to drink in that quite a lot.
Oh, nice.
But I have no memory of what it was called. But yeah, it was great for pubs. It was brilliant. Okay. And obviously then you've also got, you've got the student union where you could get awful lager for £1.35.
Mm. Yeah.
It was great. I remember when it went up to £1.40, we were absolutely up in arms about it. Couldn't believe it. £1. Where are we going to get this extra 5p a pint?
Yeah. It was pound a pint, remember?
I drank cider,
so I didn't get to... It was a bit more expensive. I think I was paying like £1.30 or something, but you could get lager for pound a pint.
Yeah. Anyway, I used to drink the Guinness. That was always a little bit of a premium on that, I seem to remember.
You're classy.
Yeah,
that's what it is, isn't it? Yeah.
You wouldn't look out of place in a Belgo.
I know.
Oh, you would have fit right in at the Abbey.
Yeah.
Absolutely would have done.
We need to get onto what drinks you're going to pick, Matthew, in your pub. But before we do, Dan, would you like to explain your bell to him?
Yes, I've got a bell here, Matthew.
You do?
And if this bell goes off... Bell go?
If the bell goes...
Bell goes off, got it. Yeah. Then one of the drinks that you've chosen will materialise on the bar and you can drink it, take it away.
Fantastic.
Whatever you like.
Sounds great.
Yeah.
Okay.
Are you a fan of early morning drinking?
I mean, it's 10:49. It's a little bit earlier than I'd normally start, and I do have to go to work after this.
Right.
But let's cross that bridge when we come to it, right?
There you go.
Just to
manage expectations, it tends to be, if you've picked a variety of different champagnes and things, it does tend to be the cheapest thing that miraculously materializes.
I don't really know
why that is that the bell does that. Yeah. But, strange. Right, you get two choices of draft things in your pub. What's your first one going to be?
Well, I'll tell you first of all, I almost picked The Man in the Box. Are you familiar with Sam Smith's pubs?
Yes.
Mm. Yes. So The Man in the Box was their 2.8% lager. Now, the reason I didn't pick it is because my next thing's a 0% alcohol. I thought, you've got to have something for people to actually drink.
Yeah.
But The Man in the Box is... it used to be the like the little the tap for it would be a sort of Perspex box with a little Alpine man in it.
Oh, yes.
And you got to order it by saying a pint of the man in the box. And when they got rid of the Perspex thing, people would still order it a pint of the man in the box. And as you get older and older and the staff, you know, stay the same age,
yeah,
effectively,
yeah,
there's a real pride in saying a pint of the man in the box and them going, what's that? And some of the older staff going, okay, oh, yeah, 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 exactly. I'll tell you what the man in the box is. And then, yeah, you know, they know you're a classy guy drinking your 2.8%.
Is that, yeah, the same as, is that their Alpine Lager?
Yeah, they've got their, that's their Alpine, yeah.
So, yeah, because there's one that's, I think, called Alpine Lager. Is that the one that was called Man in the Box? Was that,
I think it was always
thing?
Called Alpine, but
it was referred to as, man,
referred
in the box.
To as man in the box. Right. So I think anything that's got a little bit of secret code around,
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
I love that.
That is nice.
But crucially, it's a bit too weak, I think, if this, it's your own,
part, yeah,
for the only, yeah, drink you're offering on draft that, okay, has alcohol in it. So I've dispatched that, and I've, okay, gone for
honourable mention.
An honourable mention, exactly. I've gone for Neck Oil, which I'm sure is a very, very popular choice.
It's interesting, actually. You're the fourth person to have chosen it.
Okay.
Angela Barnes, Tim Lovejoy, and Chloe Petz.
Great company.
Yeah. You. Great company to be in.
What an evening that would be.
But interestingly, that you're the third person in the, what we refer to as the Premier League era of the podcast. So it's only been chosen once in quite a lot of episodes, and now suddenly three times. So it might be a, sort of a bit of a sign of...
Well, this is exactly, yeah, what I wanted to talk about. This is a bit. It's a bit like when you get into a band and then they suddenly really take off.
Yeah.
And it's quite a weird feeling, yeah, you know. You're like, I should be delighted because now loads of people like this band, yeah, but have they lost something of their sheen? Yeah. Now they're playing the arenas. Because Neck Oil, it used to be, where should we go for a drink? Let's go to the place that does Neck Oil. Mm. And in central London, that's all pubs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's now as popular as Beck's, I reckon. Yeah. More so probably than the old Beck's Fier. So I've got a bit of a sort of mixed feeling about it, but I do genuinely still really like it. And the thing about a band, when the band sort of takes off, they often start to change their sound. They often start to sort of, you know, become a bit more of an arena band. You know, you might have loved Coldplay's first album, but you sort of thought, well, I don't really like any of the other stuff after that, because they're playing to such big crowds. Their music has to be slightly simpler and bigger and, you know, more popular. Neck Oil's still the same rough and ready, you know, drink it was in the when I first discovered it. Because beers, unless they completely changed their, you know, like Stella did when they took all the E numbers out of it, it basically is the same drink. So it's just much more accessible. So I love that.
I have a friend who's a brewer.
Yes.
And he was talking about Neck Oil to me, and he showed me a picture. He said, this is a picture of him with a pint of Neck Oil from the very early days, and it looks completely different.
Oh, you're telling me it's actually not the same.
It has actually different. He says, because basically now it's in supermarkets and,
yeah,
things like this, you have to make, I can't remember the exact details, but it has to be made in a different way in order to sit on a shelf.
Mass production,
and not in,
sure,
not in a cold chain and that. So it has changed. So if you want to feel
my theory is wrong.
Yeah, but if you want to have that smugness of, I used to be into this a while ago, you can now say, yeah, not quite what it once was.
Okay, so I've changed. I've not changed my order, but yep, I've changed the way I'm approaching it.
Yeah.
Neck Oil's on offer. I'm not drinking it. Okay.
Or you can have the original Neck Oil, yeah, and you can be the one pub that has the old Neck,
yeah,
Oil.
Oh, that's what I could do.
And
yeah.
Go, this is Neck Oil. Go, this is Neck Oil.
This is Neck Oil. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like having Tab Clear or something.
Yeah, it's exactly that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it is. You made a good analogy, because it did get, Beavertown did get taken over by Heineken.
So yeah, yeah.
It was a big thing of people saying, I'm not drinking.
Signing to a major
anymore.
Label.
Yeah.
That's exactly what's happened, yeah, isn't it?
This is it. Yeah.
This is it. This is all the grunge bands, you know, in like the early 90s.
Mm. Yeah.
Releasing records on you know, Geffen or whatever, as opposed to Sub Pop.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what's happened.
This, all right, I'm playing at cool venues now, is it? With cool venues, I remember when I used to go and see a lot of gigs at London Astoria.
Oh,
and then
I love the Astoria. When I walk past that little corner, yeah, now, and it's not there. LA1 and LA2, yeah, I was there almost every weekend.
Yeah, same.
I loved it. I, yeah, loved it.
But recently, when the Elizabeth line, well, not recently, a year ago, when the Elizabeth line, yeah, opened, I thought, oh, wow, that would be great to get to the London Astoria. Then I remember that they destroyed the London Astoria to build the Elizabeth line. I was like,
oh,
what's the bloody,
no,
point?
It's so sad,
so
isn't,
bleak,
it?
Yeah. Isn't it? This would be so convenient for me now if they hadn't destroyed the thing I love the most to, yeah, build it.
And if, yeah, my life wasn't you know, like I don't go to gigs with anything like the regularity I used to.
No.
But that's life, isn't it? That's what happens to you as you get older. Yeah. I was out with a friend and we'd done a gig together and we were in the sort of like the kind of like Shad Thames area. And he said, oh, let's go to that late opening bar. And we walked to it and it was a legal firm. And it didn't look like it suddenly turned into a legal firm overnight. Yeah. It's clearly it had been there for like 15 years. Yeah. It had been a legal firm. So we ended up going for a drink at the Old Vic, yeah. You know, like, because it was the only place that was open and serving yeah. late. And you go, oh, that is so much of your life is like when you're young, it's walking around trying to find the late opening bar.
Yeah.
Then eventually you go, oh, I know where the late opening bar is. And then it's, I think there used to be a late opening bar around here.
Yeah.
And then you arrive and it's been demolished. And that's... Yeah. That's it, isn't it?
You keep walking past. This is one of those trendy speakeasies now where they make it look like a legal firm, but you have to go and give some code words.
It could have been, yeah.
It's the coolest bar in the world.
And they're serving original neck oil downstairs. Yeah, it could have been that. Who are your bands at the LA2? Who did you see?
Well, I used to work at...
Oh, sorry, the LA1 even.
I used to work at Soccer AM and I was doing music stuff for it at Sky.
Oh, amazing.
So I was going to two or three gigs a week, sort of thing, just various things. I'm just trying... A week, yesterday, I suddenly remembered seeing Outkast at London Astoria once.
Wow!
I think it was before Miss Jackson and that album. I think it was like Stankonia around sort of...
Yeah. So Bombs Over Baghdad.
Yeah, that era. Sort of thing. Gasoline Dreams.
Oh my God, incredible.
I saw that. But loads of... All of them, really.
Yeah.
I think...
All of the bands.
I remember seeing... I think I saw pretty much. I remember seeing Hot Heat and Franz Ferdinand and Fiery, Fiery Furnaces, if we're going in...
Was that like a Brat tour?
I think it
an
might
enemy
have
been. Brat tour,
it
yeah,
must have
yeah,
been
yeah.
That, yeah, and quite a lot of... But that week when they had that enemy gig, I was going to like pretty much all of them for a week.
I love that, yeah. My first ever gig I went to without my parents
yeah.
was 1994. I went and saw the Manic Street Preachers on the Holy Bible tour.
Oh, wow.
And it was the penultimate gig with Richie before he disappeared. And it was incredible. And I walked in... And the first thing I saw was Nick Cave walking down the stairs. And I thought, oh, my God, they're just out and about.
Yeah.
He wasn't on the bill. He wasn't, you know, he was just in the room. And he, you know, he was like, I'm a little guy anyway, but he was enormous and his hair was even bigger. And I thought, oh, like it was like stepping into a copy of The Melody Maker or The Enemy.
Yeah.
I was like, this life that I've been reading about yeah. in my bedroom actually exists and is yeah. real. And that's, you know, and from that moment onwards, I just saw... I saw Ben Folds Five there. I saw Lemonheads a bunch of times there. I saw Henry Rollins doing the songs of Black Flag in the Astoria. I saw Brilliant. Alice Donut in the LA2, which was, so many happy memories of that little space.
I tell you what is still around there. It hasn't been destroyed. Bradley's Spanish Bar.
The Spanish Bar,
yes.
yeah,
that's
of course.
So good. That's one of my favourite pubs in London. I once got stood up on a date there once and the girl claimed that she hadn't called because her SIM card fell out the phone and the dog ate it. I just...
That's an orgy.
Just didn't happen.
That's an orgy of excuses. Yeah. Pick one of the two.
Pick one.
Yeah.
You know,
my phone wasn't working.
My SIM card fell out. Anyone who's tried to get a SIM card out of a phone knows yeah. you've got to find that stupid fiddly little thing that gets it out. I mean, wait, are we talking... Is this like Nokia 3310 era when you could just...
Well, it would have been... I met my wife in 2005, so it would have been before that.
So, okay, so
in case she's listening.
So it's the kind of phone. So it's the kind of phone that could. Yeah. Well, you were stood up on a date.
Let's
you know.
Say 2003.
So yeah. it's the kind of phone that could fall out your pocket, break yeah. open, the SIM could go sort of flying off and yeah. land in the dog's mouth. But
and the dog's really good at like catching treats normally. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. Yeah. It's just a little boneo flying
yeah.
through the air.
Yeah. yeah. So yeah, I don't know. I didn't ask many questions off that because I thought I don't think this is going to work out.
Yeah. Mm. It's up there when I remember asking a girl, out for at university and I said, do you want to go for a drink? She's like, I don't drink. I was like, fine, we could go for a coffee. She's like, oh, I don't really do well with coffee. I don't like caffeine. I said, do you want to go for dinner? She's like, well, I'm trying to eat a bit less at the moment. I was like, okay, forget it. I get the message.
Yeah.
It's fine. I probably could have got it at the caffeine thing, but you know.
Do you want to go paintballing?
It's not actually the food and the drink. It's you.
Yeah.
And that's fine. That's fine.
Yeah. I once, when I first moved to London, I was going out on a date. We went out for some drinks in central London and we passed by this on Charing Cross Road, there's some like salsa bar or something like that. And I thought, you know what? I don't know much about salsa, but I can move a little.
Yeah.
All right, I've got magic feet. I thought, why don't we, maybe that'd be a nice thing. So I said, do you fancy going to that salsa bar there? And she went, yeah, that'd be amazing. Yeah, what a great idea. I thought, oh, this is a great one there. So we walk in, she goes, yeah, it's oh, I'm so excited for this. I've not done salsa since I lived in Argentina for 2 years.
Oh, no.
And I was like, oh, no. So then it was basically just me just sort of stood there while like really hot Latin men salsa with. They're like, we're going to knock it off in a minute.
Were you not tempted to do the sort of first week of Strictly thing where you stand and sort of do this, you know, vamp with your arms a little bit while she does all the work around you?
I probably did.
Yeah. Put your arm up and she spins you round. Yeah, that kind of thing.
Very much that. Yeah, I think so. Okay, so we've got neck oil.
Got neck oil, yeah.
What else are we putting in on draft?
We are putting in a Guinness Zero. Oh. So, my God. I've got myself a Guinness Zero.
Perfect for a day when you're going off to work afterwards.
Guinness Zero.
Yeah.
Well, I can have this then, can't I?
You can. Go on, you carry on.
So
the bar's doing the work.
Thank you so much.
Would you like
much.
To pour it? Because... Yeah. I tell you what, I've never had the 0%.
Hello. Oh.
The me underwater seems to have shaken it up.
Yeah, I was going to say, you shook the bell and the can as well.
Yeah, sorry.
Thank you.
Now.
People get very annoyed if you don't if you drink Guinness in a can.
Do you do it?
Hang on, what are you doing?
Are we doing it this way? Is that not the...
I don't know.
The way to...
Is that how you do it?
Is that not the...
So Matthew, just put the can with the glass upside down over it and just twist it over.
Oh, right.
Is that a technique?
That's brilliant. I've never seen that before.
I think that's how we're doing it. I mean, that is how we're doing it. Look.
That's great.
And I think that's.
And do you do that with alcoholic Guinness as well?
Yeah, that was how I was told to pour Guinness out of a can.
It's the only pint glass we've got, Robbie.
I can empty my water glass and drink this.
I'm going to wipe these on my, my hands on my trousers here.
I don't think. This is a risk, isn't it? Because we've got glasses it's that maybe glasses. Don't quite hold. Yeah,
that might not be quite the.
Might not hold the whole can.
Give it a go anyway. Let's find out. I mean,
what do you do? So you opened it. All right. Okay.
So you open it and then
it's
you.
A little bit of my laptop. You didn't get any Guinness in there, Dan.
It's really. Did you jog here by any chance? Because that rucksack is.
Yeah. He also brought his quad bike. So the glass goes over the top
and then I think just a
quick spin.
And then work with it. So you're always
going just above.
You're always just a couple of millimeters above the water level. Yeah,
just above
sea level. There we go. And let's see. Oh, I think you're going to be just lucky.
I think it's going to be all right.
Yeah, I think you're going to be okay.
I can leave that to settle because that's what Guinness people do, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Talk us through your selection. Why have you picked this?
Well, I think this is the best of the non-alcoholic. Obviously, non-alcoholic beers, lagers have exploded. Yeah, it's great. It's a bit gummy on the hands, isn't it? That's the only thing.
Dan's just gone off to magic.
He's going off to get some. Do you have a... I mean, what we really need now is... It's very rare as a father of two small children. I don't have water wipes in my bag.
Yes. Yeah.
But I could really have done with them. Could have a little blue roll as well. Yeah.
Can.
Muslin, that's the thing as well.
Yeah.
Generic rag to wipe up stuff.
The muslin, yeah.
I found with kids, like my standards of what I would do with mess and stuff changed so much. Because like, I'd be on the floor playing with them. They'd have had some food or something like that, like a half-eaten biscuit. And they put it on the floor. I think... I could get up and take that to the bin. I could just eat it.
Oh yeah, yeah. The amount of floor food I eat it's terrible. I used to be quite a fussy, not a fussy eater, but I used to be quite fussy about like I got taken once to this cool place in Clapham that does breakfast, and the idea is you can make your own toast. And that was like, I don't know why that's such a selling point.
I've done that before.
Yeah, I've been to a hotel buffet before, I know.
Been to a house.
The idea is, yeah.
I love going to the hotel buffet and standing in the sad queue by the rotating thing.
So the idea was you could slice it to the thickness you wanted and then you stick it in the toaster yourself, and then they would go away and make the eggs for you. I think all of that system is really flawed, because then you would often get a plate of wet... You wouldn't know when you're... Eggs were going to arrive, so you'd wait till you get this plate of wet eggs on a... Like, scrambled egg on a plate, not without toast in between, looks weird and gross for some reason.
That's how my wife eats it, and I've never
you've got to have something underneath it. A little bit of ballast underneath it. But I sat down, and I was like, this is okay, this is not my scene really, but I'm going to, sort of put my best foot forward. And I saw a guy... have a real good rummage in his nose, then pick up a loaf of bread and slice in it. And I was like, well, this is the reason. Yeah. You know, I don't care what's going on in the kitchen. The chef could be doing the same thing, but yeah, crucially, that's behind a door that I can't see. So I don't. But now, it's different because it's my kids. But, you know, I eat so many pre-chewed fish fingers. Yeah. You know, if it's pre-chewed fish fingers off the floor.
Yeah.
I'm
not going to go to the kitchen.
They're sneezing in my gob every 3 seconds anyway. What's the difference with a bit of saliva on the fish finger? At least it tastes nice. but yeah, so Guinness Zero anyway. Let's.
Yeah, fabulous.
I think this for me is the, and I'm you know, I'm a big believer in the, oh, cheers, everybody.
Yeah, cheers.
I've never had this, so.
No.
I'm a big believer in the Lucky Saint and all of that kind of caper. But I think this is the best one.
It's nice.
I think it tastes pretty close.
Yeah.
I would say it tastes pretty close. What you realize as well, if you're trying to drink a little bit less, sometimes the ritual of opening the can is all you're looking for. So, you know, like it's a full stop on the end of the day, isn't it? Sometimes. And so I always have a non-alcoholic beer in the fridge. And this is one of my favorites.
I think it's nice that there's a few that I drink, like the Big Drop is a nice pale ale. That's lovely. And you're exactly right. You just think sometimes, I don't really want, I want something that isn't water.
Yeah.
I don't really want a Coke or something sweet and fizzy.
Well, it's going to keep me up, you know. Yeah. It's 7 or 8 o'clock at night. I don't want to be drinking it.
I don't want, but I don't fancy alcohol tonight. Like, yeah. It's really good that they're starting to have these kind of drinks.
It's also, for me, I'm terrible for getting home from a night out and thinking, I'll have another can, you know, like I'll have a can of Neckel while we rush out the house, we haven't cleared up or whatever. Yeah. I'll do the tidying up and have a can. And I always think that's the one that gives you the hangover. It's not the stuff you had at the pub. It's the one you have. I mean, obviously it's a combination, but, but in my mind, I'm thinking that extra can I had at home, that's not a good one. So if you go, well, look, I still want to feel like I'm drinking, I'll have a little Guinness Zero.
Yeah.
And I love it. I think it's...
Are you doing your alcohol-free drinking at home, or are you having it in pubs as well? When are you normally doing it?
I've started doing it in pubs as well, actually, yeah.
And is it on a night that's dedicated alcohol-free, or... Because I'll sometimes, if I'm on a pub crawl, every third or fourth pub, I'll do an alcohol-free.
One-on, one-off or something like that. Yeah, I've done that as well. Currently, I've had a few nights, actually. The last 3 nights I've been out in pubs, I've just stuck to alcohol free.
Similar, yeah.
Yeah, I've driven there to make sure that you don't, because the thing is, once you see everybody getting drunk, you think, oh, it doesn't really matter. But you know, I've got the car, so I've got to drive home. But yeah, I think it's great.
It feels the same because I'm a relatively recent convert to this. Mm-hmm. I would drink occasionally a night out, like when I'm drinking other beers. But if I was just going out, I'd just have a lemonade or something like that normally. But recently I've started doing it, and it does feel like you're drinking alcohol. And it does, and I do think, like, I feel a little bit like relaxed and all this sort of stuff like that. But then at the end of it, you go, hang on, I can actually just drive my car now with no issues.
Yeah, the only issue I would say is that you then get home and you're like, I've had so much. It's basically like drinking loads of soft drinks. I've had so many. I've got so much sugar in my system that I often don't sleep as, you know, like I don't have the kind of fitful night you have if you've had like 6 bottles of, you know, Heineken. But if I drunk 6 bottles of Heineken Zero, I'm a bit like, oh, right, how long before I'm actually going to fall asleep here? But it's a small price to pay, because then the next morning you feel fine.
Good news with the Guinness one is that a normal Guinness is about 154 calories. For a pint, but a can of 0% is only 70.
It's basically a Slim Fast shake, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is amazing. Oh, yeah. There used to be the old rumor going around. People loved telling you, as you were drinking a pint of Guinness, they had the same number of calories as a full roast dinner.
Yeah.
And you're like,
yeah,
it can't do. No. It absolutely can't do.
Yeah.
Even if you blended a full roast dinner, it wouldn't fit in a pint glass. It's like, it's just, there's no way it can. But that was just knocking around for forever, wasn't it? Until, obviously, you know, iPhones ruined those kind of pub chats.
Yeah, it's the same as the steak I used to hear as well. Yeah.
Guinness. I think it's because they had the, you know, they it had sort of weird branding, didn't it? It had like the sort of, it's full of iron and it's good for you. Like the Guinness is good for you was the branding.
Well, no, it is with this.
Well, it is, yeah.
70
yeah.
calories, yeah.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, I think wasn't there even, I mean, not in my lifetime, but there was even like a kind of, it's quite good if you're pregnant
yes,
to drink a
the
Guinness.
Iron.
Yeah. You know. Which I imagine, if you're pregnant, drinking a Guinness Zero is absolutely fine.
Mm. Play on.
Yeah, why not?
I had an alcohol-free beer, not this week and gone the one before. Just because you find there's quite a lot of variety of them in like cans form in fridges and stuff a lot of times. I had one called Zed by Hamilton Brewery. It was so nice.
Yeah,
so
I've had Zed.
Pale.
Yeah, it's great.
Lovely.
Yeah, yeah.
Really good. Yeah. Wow, really fabulous choice.
And it's good that, like, you know, I think it's good because it swung so far in both directions. You know, obviously you've got your Guinness Zero, but then you've got your, you know, you go to like, there's a fantastic craft beer place just around the corner from me, the Three Hounds.
Where's that? Is that in Beckenham?
That's in Beckenham, yeah.
I've been to one in Bromley before, a pub that's, I can't remember what it's called now, that's very craft beery.
Yeah, the Three Hounds. It's next to a place called Love Your Hound, which is like a dog grooming place, but I don't think they're in any way related. But for a while, I thought it was like dog grooming, you know, like have a pint while you wait for your, you know, for your poodle to be combed. But I don't think it is. I think it's just a coincidence. But they're really good. But you'll go there and you'll be like, oh, what's on at the moment? And they're like, we've got this, that's an 8.9. You're like, chill out, guys.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's a pint and I may as well drink a pint of wine.
Yeah.
It's like, we've got this, it's 14%. Yeah. You're like,
I'll have a pint of wine, please.
Yeah, exactly. You may as well. It'd be churlish not to. but I think it's good that you've got, you know, you can have an 8.9, but then, you know, have something that tastes quite nice, but 0% afterwards.
Mm. Matthew, you do a lot of writing.
Yes.
Comedy and stuff. Different people write in different places. A lot of people will write at home in an office, but some people will go to coffee shops and stuff like that. Have you ever tried writing in pubs?
I have.
How did it work out?
Well, it starts brilliantly.
Yeah.
You know, and you think,
This is
so bohemian. I've got, you know, I've got a glass of red and I'm typing and, you know, I imagine you feel like, you know, I'm like Hemingway, aren't I? But then I think the difference between me and Hemingway and Charles Bukowski and all those famous sort of drinker writers is they, you know, Dylan Thomas, they were crucially able to keep writing while they were drunk. And the thing they didn't have is they didn't also have the internet on their laptop.
Yeah.
You know, so you go, actually, I'll read a Wikipedia page for a serial killer or something like that. You know, the kind of things you sort of, you know, the rabbit holes you disappear down. But yeah, you do get a real feeling of, I've gamed the system here, haven't I? Because it's work and play combined, which comedy writing kind of is anyway. You know, it's coming up with jokes, so it is sort of work and play. But if you're doing it with a glass of wine in your hand, you think, this is great. I think, you know, write drunk, edit sober. I think that's the way to do it.
Yeah.
But if you've got a deadline that is that night, just don't write drunk.
Yeah. No. I find I will occasionally, because I live in Norwich, but sometimes I'll be in London for various things and have some time to kill. If I'm towards the end of the day and I've got something to write and then I'm in the evening I'm meeting someone, I'll think, do you know what, I'll just go for the pub for a little bit and I'll just have a pint or something to do this.
Yeah.
And I'll start off and go like that and then I'll be fine. And then the next day I'll come to it and just delete everything I did because it's noticeably worse than the stuff I did up to that point.
That's where the 2.8, that's where the man in the box comes into play, you know. If you're having a 2.8, you're basically having a soft drink there.
Yeah.
And that's fine. It might make you a bit more sort of loosey-goosey, but, you know.
Yeah, I think I quite often will go for like a glass of wine because I think that's a bit cultured, end of the working day, glass of wine sort of thing. But then that's very quickly goes downhill.
Yeah, you really feel it, don't you? Yeah.
Oh, well.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at UH1.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Right, we also, as well as draft, you get two bottles or cans. What's your first choice?
Right, the first choice, I'm going to go bottle. I'm going to go bottle on both of these. The Peakpool de Pinay. Do you know this wine?
No.
This is another wine that I thought I was incredibly classy ordering, and now it seems like it's in every supermarket. But the Peakpool de Pinay is, it's a very summery, light white wine. I think it translates to like a sting of the lips or something like that, because it's got a sort of sharpness. It's got a kind of bite to it. It's almost like a kind of like a Granny Smith apple.
Oh, lovely.
It's got that kind of crispness to it. But crucially, it's the one wine that I definitely know the name of.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like I love drinking wine. I really enjoy it, but I've tried, I've been to wine tasting classes. My wife is really good at working out what the notes are. We do it at home where, we'll take a sip and, not look at the label and go, what are we getting from this? And every time she absolutely nails it, she's brilliant at it. And every time, it's terrible when there's...
It's quite winey.
Yeah, I think this is, it's red or white. It's one of the two. It might be a rosé. When you're doing it with someone there, like actually at a proper wine tasting, they never want to say no to you, but the way they say yes to my wife is very different to the way they say yes to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, my yes is a very elongated and have a question mark at the end, you know.
Well, no one can tell you what you taste.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, it's all different for everybody.
But I don't think it's petrol.
Yeah. Oh, actually, no, you are drinking petrol. So Peakpool de Pinay, I reckon if you gave me a glass of a bunch of different whites, or give me a glass of a bunch of different whites, I could spot that one, and I know it's Peakpool de Pinay. And because it's got a fun name to say, and you can get it at quite a lot of places, it feels like quite a, if anyone says to you, do you want to pick the wine? And you go, oh, should we have a Peakpool de Pinay? People are like, oh.
Oh, yeah.
If they don't know,
yeah,
they think you do.
So is a Peakpool de Pinay a specific bottle, or is it like a type of wine?
Bottle.
What I'm saying is it a brand?
Peakpool is a variety.
It's a type of wine.
It's a type of wine. So it's like a cola rather than a can of Coke.
Yes, that's right.
In stupid person terms.
Yeah. It's a bit less classy when you say, hey, should we have a cola?
Yes. literally translated as lip stinger.
Lip stinger, because it does have a certain,
that
like,
sounds great,
sharpness to it. And yeah, I think that's the reason why. It's because it's not just the smell and the taste, it's a physical sensation. Yeah. I need all of those things in order to recognise, I need to be slapped around the face as well as them saying, this is my name. So that's why I really like it. And in fact, actually, the last time I worked in a pub, I was drinking Peakpool de Pinay, and it was a beautiful summer's day. And it was the Owl and the Pussycat in Shoreditch.
Yep.
And I was waiting for some friends and catching up on some work. And I remember thinking, this is living. When summer rolls around, there are certain drinks that feel just incredibly summery. And that's absolutely one of them. A lot of them are gross as well, like Aperol Spritz. I always drink Aperol Spritz in the summertime, and I hate them. But everyone's drinking them. Right? We're all having Aperol Spritz. Because it's been so long since the last time it was hot, you go, oh yeah, Aperol Spritz, great. And then you drink it. It's a bit like going for a McDonald's. I go for a McDonald's about once every 18 months, and I go, oh yeah, I just remember what this is. you know, yeah. sober McDonald's. You don't Ooh. Need that in your life.
I remember having I was driving up to a stag, when I lived in London, I was driving up to a stag do in Norwich, for someone that we knew, and we finished work on the Friday and we were going up and stopped off at a service station. I had a KFC. I never have KFC. I had like this thing called a hot rod box or something it was called. Had loads of in it. And afterwards, I felt dreadful.
Yeah.
Utterly dreadful. And I just remember thinking there, I was probably about 32 at the time, and I was just sitting there thinking, what'd you do that for? You're like you're like an adult man. And look what you've done.
Yeah.
You feel dreadful because of this. And you, it's all because of you. And I've been sitting in the car thinking, real, real crisis moment in my life.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a bad meal.
That used to be my cheer myself up after a bad gig. You know, I'd get to Brixton Station. I'd go to the KFC at Brixton Station and I'd get on the night bus or whatever back to Crystal Palace. And I was sitting there eating like a Zinger Tower box and like drinking the gravy and all that kind of nonsense. And a guy came up to me on the bus and said, "You're disgusting." And I was like, oh my God, the voices in my head have been made flesh. I couldn't believe I'm on a night bus eating a Zinger Tower burger. Come on, I know I'm disgusting. I couldn't believe the confidence of the guy to come up to me and go, "This is, look at yourself, you're disgusting."
Yeah.
I mean, you know, he was absolutely right.
Yeah.
I was 100% behind him.
On the other hand, on the other end of that, my friend Jack was recently on a train and he was just eating an entire box of Matchmakers chocolates. And some guy came up to him and said, "I just want to say, absolutely class that you're just eating a box of Matchmakers on your own." Brilliant.
I haven't had Matchmakers in ages. They were sort of like like After Eights in stick form, weren't they? They were an after dinner chocolate treat.
I hadn't had one in ages until weirdly last night at bonfire night when my 9-year-old son's best friend just came up to me and said, "Would you like a Matchmaker?" I was like, "Yes, I will. Thank you."
Kids were eating Matchmakers.
Oh, yeah. Like, kids now are into Matchmakers, and weirdly, Samuel Pepys.
Really?
Like, my 6-year old.
Oh, Leo talks about Samuel Pepys.
Yeah, kids are so into Samuel Pepys.
Yeah.
Really? Is this like that TikTok thing of how many times you think about the Roman Empire? Did you see that? That thing, women asking their partners how often they thought about the Roman Empire. And the answer is often, you know, every day or three times a week or four times a week. And it became this thing on TikTok where, people would say, just, you know, surprise their partners with this question.
Yeah.
And is that going to be, the next generation is going to be, how often do you think about Samuel Pepys' diaries?
Like my son will tell me facts about Samuel Pepys all the time. Like, I just go, "All right, Arlo, you got a fact about Samuel Pepys?" And he'll just say, "Samuel Pepys buried his cheese." Yes. Apparently during the Fire of London, he buried his cheese to keep it safe and his wine.
Well, that's the way to do it, isn't it? Because otherwise, you've got like a big old fondue. Sort of fondue. Yeah, the great fondue of London.
Of course, how it was invented that year.
That's right. Yeah. They didn't bury their cheese. Yeah. They made a great discovery. Yeah. They're quite bawdy, his diaries, aren't they?
Yeah,
there's
some weird stuff in it. Like, because I've since researched Samuel Pepys a bit, and there's a bit where, like,
I like the fact that, like, you know, like, I'm currently at the stage where I have to learn all the names of the Paw Patrol.
Yeah.
This is what's ahead of me.
It's all about, you think they're all into like YouTubers and KSI and that. They're not, they're into Samuel Pepys. But so there's a bit in it where like apparently Samuel Pepys, he mentions his wife like 28 times, but never mentions her birthday, but mentions like his loads. And one day he goes for his birthday, he gets let into some church thing and goes like backstage to kiss a dead queen. And he's writing in this, it was my 28th birthday when I first kissed a queen and all this sort of stuff.
Oh, wow. Like,
he's the first person ever to record drinking an English cup of tea.
Really?
And he used to own a lion.
Pet lion. This is the sort of classic thing that everyone had like an exotic pet, didn't they, back in those days? You know, they'd have an elk or something like that, or
but
something you shouldn't keep in a house.
But the story's a bit, I can't remember the exact details. I'm sure there's some historian getting annoyed at me as I try and say this. But there was something along the lines of, he had this, someone gave him this lion, but this person was someone like, who was the husband of someone, of his ex-mistress or something. So you kind of feel that maybe he knows more about lions than Pepys. Going, "Have this lion, Pepys. You'll love this, mate." So there's little undertones of the diary that you sort of can dig into what's going on. So do we know any facts about Poule de Pinet? Is that how we're saying it?
I think Matthew's covered most of the stuff that I've sort of found out. But I quite like learning about food pairings.
Oh, yes, please. Does
it go with KFC gravy?
It does go with berry cheese.
Really well. So oysters and mussels.
Steak.
Oysters and mussels harvest from within the Etang de Tau itself, which is where the grapes are a great classic pairings. But saltiness of seafood platters, salt cod croquettes, that kind of thing. Mm. And then it says its lip puckering freshness can also cut through richer foods like cheese and charcuterie,
yes,
or even lemon based desserts. And this is the bit I love the best, making it a versatile wine for picnics.
Oh, I suddenly thought, a picnic wine.
When you were talking about the summer freshness of it,
yeah,
just reading the phrase, this wine is good for picnics, that's makes exactly me want to want. Drink
yeah.
it.
Yeah, yeah. I think Tesco's Finest do a bottle of it. So that feels like, you know, you'd nip into Tesco, you'd get yourself a bottle that's still chilled, stroll over to the park.
They should just have a little slap bit of cheese on the label. Perfect for picnics.
Picnic wine,
I'd buy that.
Yeah. I guess they don't sort of do that very often with wine, say what sort of function you should be drinking.
No.
I mean, there was the, who was best shared with friends? Was it Hardee's or Jacob's Creek? Channel 4,
yeah.
It used to be, before Friends was on, they'd be like,
yes,
this is best shared with friends. But there was never like...
Lambrini.
Lambrini girls, they just want to have fun.
Oh, that's what
Lambrini girls want to do. When I went to visit my sister at university, she's a bit younger than me, as I entered she was staying in a shared house, the entire landing was covered in Lambrini bottles, and it was only her first term, and I thought, you've landed on your feet here, you know what you're doing.
You're all right.
Yeah. Saving the Lambrini bottles as a badge of honour.
What's your second bottle, Matthew?
It's anything by Benjamin Darnault. Any red by Benjamin Darnault, but specifically, I think it's the Minervois I picked, this is one of these. Now, I joined Naked Wines. I don't know if you've had other people who've joined Naked Wines before. It's like a little club.
We're a Wine Society members.
I'm also a Wine Society member and Virgin Wines as well.
Mr. Crosby.
But it's great to...
when we find someone's a member of the Wine Society, we tend to call them misters. With a little respect, Mr.
Thank
Crosby.
Thank you. But I joined Naked Wines, I think because a friend of mine was like, if you join, I get a tenner off and you get 75 quid off your first order, one of those sort of things. And it's one of those companies that I like it because they tell you a little story and you're like, you're one of the naked angels. And, you know, there's always like, it's quite tricky.
I looked at the website and I couldn't understand what the naked angels were.
I don't really know either.
You're a customer,
right. Basically. But they're saying, we give this money to the wine growers. We send it specifically to the people who are making the wine. And, you get a little message on the back of each bottle, which ruins the game of what are the notes, because it doesn't tend to tell you if it's tasting like dark chocolate or smoke or whatever and that kind of stuff. It just says like, thanks so much, you know, this means a lot to me, and it's that sort of little personalised touch. So I've been a member of Naked Wines for a little while, and I just basically buy their big box of red wine and just have that and just sort of work through it. And again, you know, I could probably tell you the difference between like a Merlot and a Malbec and a Shiraz and a Pinot Noir. Probably. I could give it a good guess, but that's about as far as I can go. But I got this bottle of Minervois and it was amazing. It was fantastic. And so I immediately put it into my little Vivino app thing, gave it 5 stars. And I only really tend to do that if I really like a wine. Like if it's, you know, I don't rate wines badly. I just forget about them.
Yeah.
You know, it was the sort of 2020 bottle and I absolutely loved it. And anyway, sort of forgot about it a little bit. And then I drank another bottle of the 2021 without realizing, put it into the app. And I was like, oh, the two I've given 5 stars to have been this. I've worked out this is my favorite wine.
Yeah.
And so I then went on the sort of, he does a Pinot. So I got that and I got a bunch of other wines of his. And it's just very exciting to have a favorite winemaker.
Yeah, that's class.
And he's called Benjamin Darnault as well, you know, and I follow him on Instagram and he's, you know, he's a sort of a handsome French dude. And I love the fact that I can say, yeah, I write anything by Benjamin Dunn.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Have you got any, I mean, you won't see it in any pubs or anything because it's a wine club wine.
Yeah.
So it's rare that I'm going to get it outside of my own house, which is why I brought it obviously to this pub. But I love it.
That's fabulous.
And it's you know, I wish I knew more about wines. I'd love to be a wine guy. I've tried really hard. I mean, red wine is basically what I drink at home. That's my main drink I drink at home. But I'm just, I don't know enough about it. But that, People to Pinay, knowing the name of that, and that's anything true. By Benjamin Dunno, makes it sound like you know what you're
that's
talking
all you
about.
Need.
Yeah.
You just need one thing.
You've
in
got
anything.
A white and a red.
Absolutely,
like,
yeah.
Yeah. Like I've mentioned this before, but for classical music, I don't know anything about classical music, but I thought if I learn about one person,
yeah.
I picked Claude Debussy,
oh,
and
great.
I bought a
yeah,
book
yeah.
and just read loads. I can't remember much of it now, but for a bit, I could tell you all about Claude Debussy's life, where he growing up in Paris and everything like that.
Yeah.
I could tell you all about this. So then I'll do that and just hope people go, oh, Robbie knows classical music. Mm. But then hopefully they won't ever ask me about anyone
else. No
follow-up
questions
yeah.
about anybody else.
No,
yeah.
No,
yeah.
Or I'll just bring it back round to Claude Debussy.
Yeah.
What do you think of Bach? Well, I don't know. I mean...
He's
yeah,
no,
I mean, it's
he's
no,
no Debussy.
He's no Debussy, but yeah. So I've just looked up Benjamin Dunno, Minvois, on, and it's come up Naked Wines on there.
Yeah.
And I don't really understand how Naked Wines works exactly, but it says market price, £9.99, angel price, £9.99, angels save £0 and nought pence.
Yeah,
this doesn't
there
make,
we go.
It's basically saying you're not special.
You're not special. But they're like, this is the wine we can actually
yeah.
sell.
Yeah. It's also
this
our
is,
stock.
This is the one yeah. that, yeah, it's tricky to get. Yeah. But I do sort of, basically every now and then I'll go on and just buy a bunch of his reds, and they're always really good. I think he's brilliant. It's one of those things where, I mean, I don't really... You know, they take you pay them a bit of money each month or each week or whatever it is, and then eventually they say, you've got, you know, £150 to spend on wine. Mm. You think, have I? And I go, well, I also have £150 to spend on wine now, you know, in my
yeah.
account.
Yeah.
But for some reason, you've got it, and I can only spend it on wine.
Yeah.
But damn. Yeah, I do like that little system.
Yeah.
It's nice to get a little reminder as well.
Yeah.
Every Friday, I get a text message from about three different wine companies
yeah.
going, hey,
yep.
remember us?
Yeah.
We're
not
one.
Had any wine today.
We're another one of our famous sales. You know, we'd love to send you a magnum of this stuff that we can't shift.
Yeah.
Right? For free?
Yeah,
come on.
Yeah.
It's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fabulous.
It feels better than the sort of, you know, getting the updates from Just Eat.
Yeah. yeah. Get the Domino's one.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
The shame. Do wine.
Okay, phones away, put a gag on Siri, it's quiz time. Elvis's black belt was in karate. I saw it on QI. No half points for saying J.K. Rowling is the lead singer of Jamiroquai.
Moira Stewart.
No, I'm afraid it was Gordon Honeycomb.
Matthew, do you enjoy a pub quiz?
Do I enjoy a pub quiz?
You can be honest.
You know what? I'd like to be someone who knew a lot more than I do. And I carry myself, I think, as someone who knows stuff.
Mm.
And I'll often say, if, for example, if you, and I get this trait from my dad, if you were talking to me about Claude Debussy, I would definitely pretend I knew a bunch of things you were telling me.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, that's right, that's right.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah
a lot
yeah.
of that.
Of course.
Yeah. I'd do a lot of that. And that's very exposing at a pub quiz because people always get, I've been with groups of people, you know, and they've gone, you're going to be good at this. And then I'm like,
and you think, oh no, because I've been agreeing with the
yeah.
things.
Yeah,
said.
Yeah, it's because
yeah,
yeah, I.
But then you can't stop, you're like, yeah, I am.
Yeah,
I am.
Exactly.
Yeah,
I really
yeah,
am.
Yeah, you're right.
So I don't, I hate getting things wrong. And that's the nature of a pub quiz, isn't it? But I've run a few pub quizzes, and I'm much more comfortable doing that
yeah.
than I am taking part. I've got a memory. Myself and the other two guys from Pappy's, the sketch team I'm in, we did a pub quiz once, and we were down to the tiebreaker, and it was like how many pints are served was the question. How many pints are served at the V Festival over the course of a weekend, like the last V Festival. And we went for 2 million pints as our answer, and we were nowhere Like, we were nowhere near. And I just, and like the other, I think it was about like 200,000 was the answer.
I mean, I was just trying to think what on earth I would have just said there.
I thought that's a good guess.
And when we said 2 million pints, the guy who was doing the tiebreaker laughed out loud because it was so far off. And because I mean, even 1 million pints, when you think about it, yeah, sounds way too many.
Now,
but there's something about
now you picture 1 million pints. Yeah. That does seem outrageous.
And that became our thing at the you know, for years afterwards. Whenever we were getting around in, we'd be like, okay, so you're you're having your own a Guinness, Robbie, you're an Echo. Oh, 2 million pints. What do you want? Oh no, I'm not drinking tonight. Oh, okay, just 2 million pounds. That became it, and it sort of burned into my brain. So I do. Yeah, I don't know. Much happier just holding a microphone and being a prick.
Well, you're not going to enjoy this then, because Dan's got pop quiz.
Oh,
pop
go
quiz.
On then, go on. All right. This is the bit I'm going to, you know, be staying up till 3 a.m. worrying about.
Yeah.
Okay, go on.
Well, it's interesting this, but it's quite nice because it's tied in. We talked a little bit earlier about Lambrini Girls and a couple of other things, and it is actually advertising.
Oh, okay. Sort of slogans?
Slogans.
Okay, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh. And the reason that I've done this, because sometimes I like to slightly tailor it to the guest.
Yeah.
Is that, now you might have already talked about this on your radio show or something, but on your Wikipedia page.
Oh yeah, I know
it
what this
says,
is.
It says that you're a keen archer and you were employed to fire the arrows in the remake of the Strongbow Cider advert, which I'm assuming is not true.
It's not true. And you know what? I've got to take it off because it's situations like this where people go, oh, let's talk about archery for a bit. And I'm like, I maybe did it once at Heather Castle when I was a 10-year-old, but I've never, no. So I'm not.
Is there a story behind why that's on there?
I'll tell you what it is I think it comes from actually another podcast. I think it comes from doing Richard Herring's podcast, Rehulistipa, years and years and years ago, and him being very annoyed that I didn't have a particularly full Wikipedia page, so he didn't have loads of stuff to ask me about, despite the fact that I've known Richard for probably 20 years now. So we could just talk about the fact that we know each other and, you know, like, but he wanted to do stuff off the Wikipedia page. And I said, oh, you know, like to the audience, if anyone wants to add stuff to my Wikipedia page, it doesn't even have to be true, off you go. And then the floodgates were opened.
Amazing.
And there's a list of TV shows I've written and worked on, and some of them aren't even real. It's just, for some reason, it's mad, isn't it? Because when I've tried to put things on my Wikipedia page or to change things on my Wikipedia page, they always get rejected or turned back. There was a point when it said I was going out with somebody I wasn't, and I was like, well, that's got to, you know, that's got to leave Wikipedia, and they kept rejecting it. But for some reason, this is just stuck forever.
Yeah.
I don't know what there's no citation needed after it. It's just there.
Yeah.
No one spotted it. But yeah, no, I did an advert for a bottled water company.
Okay.
Drench, but I've never been I've never advertised alcohol. Not that I've got anything against it.
No.
You know, if Strongbow wants to, you know, I'm happy to
employ you to.
I'm happy to try and, I mean, I probably wouldn't be the you know, somebody who hasn't done it for probably about 35 years, I wouldn't be the best person to fire an arrow, but I'll give it a go if the price is right.
Okay,
But that said, I do, you know, I watch a lot of adverts.
All right.
I follow a lot of Instagram accounts that are like, you know, throwback to 90s adverts.
Okay.
You're going to get slaughtered.
I'm in real trouble.
Oh, well, let's wait and see. This is me talking a good game.
You're nodding it.
And what is it? Not, is it Just Do It, Nike? Is that what it is?
I think there's a chance of 4 out of 4 here for you.
Oh, don't say that.
I've added an extra one because you said I could do.
Yeah, more. Good for you. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so we'll do 4 questions. I'll rattle through them.
Okay.
We're going to end this half of the podcast, so don't answer. Well, you can give us the answers beginning of the second.
Right, okay. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Question one. Which drink brand used the tagline, "It's the taste"? Question two. Which advert featured a young girl and boy with dancing eyebrows?
Oh.
Question three. Which advert featured a musical animation with lyrics that began, "The red car and the blue car had a race"?
Mm-hmm.
And question four. Which advert identified its product as the cream of Manchester?
Oh. The cream of Manchester. Okay.
Okay.
I'm just working my way through the song.
Stuff
his face.
And then he ate at Nando's.
That's unfair. Okay, fabulous. That is the end of the first half of Moon Underwater. For those of you who do not support the Moon Underwater on Patreon, if you'd like to subscribe, you can head to moonunderpod.com and sign up to get ad-free extended episodes a day early, a monthly bonus podcast, and access the Moon Underwater Social Club on Facebook. We'll see you soon in part two. We'll continue creating Matthew's dream pub.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.